Loved ones, the Lord has laid upon my heart for this morning meditation. If we can turn to Matthew chapter 4, we'll be reading from verse 18 through 25. Matthew chapter 4, 18 through 25. Братья и сестры, ако и могло за Божью помощь, да читам от Матею, четвертую главу. 18 стиху да почнем да читам. Apologize for my Serbian, it's not that good, but I think... And Jesus walked by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon and Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he said unto them, Follow me. And I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from hence, he saw two other brethren, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in a ship with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. And he called them, and immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had palsy, and he healed them. And there followed him a great multitude of people from Galilee to Decapolis, and from Jerusalem, and from Judea, and from beyond Jordan. I think it's good that when we read the Gospels, that we take time and not only focus on the one book that we read, but that we go back and perhaps look at what the other books have to say. We call Matthew, James, John, the harmony of the Gospels. And it's called the harmony of the Gospels is because they are in accord with each other. They're in harmony with each other. But what's interesting when you read from one writer or one author to the other, one gives a little bit more detail than the other. Back home, I've always said that a good way or a good analogy that I like to bring out between the harmony of the Gospels is in this aspect. If you're at a four-way stop and there's a person on every corner and there's an accident that takes place, every one of those people, if you go afterwards and you interview and say, hey, what happened, are going to give you a little bit of a different perspective. Some may be a little bit more detailed. And some may say, oh, no, I just heard the brakes were, the tires were screeching and he hit somebody, the car in front of him. And with that in mind, I want to apply that this morning as well. So if you turn with me, because we read how Jesus was walking through by the Sea of Galilee, and he called James and John, and he said, follow me. Did they just get up and follow him? What really happened? So turn with me, if you will, to St. Luke chapter 5, and let's reread the account with a little bit more detail. St. Luke chapter 5, and we're going to read the first 11 verses. And it reads like this, and it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret, and he saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon, and prayed that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people from the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch into the deep, and let down your nets for draught. And Simon answered unto him, Master, we have toiled all night, and we have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had done this, enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And he beckoned unto the partners which were on the other ship that they should come and help him. And they came and filled both ships, so that they began to sink. And when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees and said, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which had taken. And so also when James and John, son of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon, and Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from hence thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. I like the way Luke kind of penned it down. There's a little bit more detail than what Matthew wrote. And in this, there are four principles that I would like to leave with you today. And the direction or the directive or who I would like to focus my attention to are those that have not followed Jesus, that have not made that decision to follow Jesus. Or they want to follow Jesus, but they haven't put the effort into it. In the first verse, it tells us that there was a great multitude of people that were following Jesus. And they were pressed to hear his word. They wanted to hear him. This was the beginning of Jesus' ministry. And what they heard from Jesus was something different. What they heard from Jesus was something new. What they heard from Jesus was something that perhaps they needed to hear. And these group of people are categorized in three types of people. Perhaps there was a group of people that followed Jesus because they wanted to hear more of what he had to say. They wanted to know more of Jesus. They wanted to know that there is a Jesus and they've seen him and that he's performed the miracles, and this is a man that I want to follow. This is a man that I need. I need him. Then there's another group of people that perhaps tagged along because, hey, I want to see what he does. I want to see the miracles that he performs. And then there's a third group of people that perhaps just tagged along to be with their friends, and I don't have anything else to do. And perhaps it was a way of being entertained. So I'm going to ask you the question this morning. In which category are you? When you come to church Sunday after Sunday, do you come to hear of this Jesus and to hear his words? And by the way, if you come only on Sunday to read and to hear of Jesus, you should be doing this during the week, not only on Sunday. Or do you show up when there are baptisms or weddings and so forth? And, you know, we can see some, when let's just talk about baptism, we see the miracles that are performed, how God changed people's lives. Or are you just here because, you know what, Sunday morning, I don't have anything to do. Maybe it's really cold outside, and I just want to hang out with my friends. Where do you see yourself? And as Jesus was walking and the press was, the people were following him, Scripture says there were two boats. This was the morning time. This is where the fishermen have already gone out. They fished, they tried to fish and caught nothing. They're coming back in. Perhaps they were fishing all night. That time of the year, the fish were down way deep. They come up empty-handed. I don't know if you guys, how many of you actually, I know there's a lot of lakes here, and I'm not sure how many of you actually fish. Back home, we do a lot of saltwater fishing on the ocean. And it's really interesting because you really don't know what you're going to catch when you go out there. But you know what? There are times that you go out there and you get nothing. But I want to focus on four principles that happened here. So when Simon Peter was by his boat and Jesus walked by and he looks at Simon and he says, "Get in the boat. Let's go out." And when he did that, Scripture says that he went in, he got in the boat, they went out, and he sat down. And he taught the people out of the ship. First principle. Peter had to be still and he had to listen. I'm going to go back to these principles. After that, he left speaking and he said to Simon, "Launch into the deep and let down your nets for a draught." The other principle is Peter had to give up his boat to Jesus. And when they're out there and Jesus says, "Launch into the deep and let down your net. Let's go fishing." Can you imagine Peter, who's been on the water all night trying to catch fish and they caught nothing? And he comes back, and now this man, who's the son of a carpenter, tells him, "Drop your nets down." And we see that there's this conversation with Jesus, and he says, "Master, we've toiled all night and taken nothing." But we also see the obedience of Peter, and he dropped the nets down. And when they started pulling up the nets, Scripture tells us there was so much fish in there, the net started to break. And to the point that he called his other partners to get in the other boat, "Come help us." And both boats were full of fish. And when Peter saw that, he was convicted. The Spirit was working in his heart, to the point where this man, Jesus, the Son of God, he said, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." And he was astonished. Not only him, but James and John. And Jesus said, "Fear not." He says, "From now on, you'll be fishers of men." And when they brought their ships to land, then they forsook all and followed him. Let's talk about these four principles. The first principle is Simon had to give up his boat to a carpenter. He had to say, "You know what? Okay, let's get up and go." Within our lives, when you decide to follow Jesus, he wants you to give up of yourself. He wants you to give up of yourself. He wants you to divest of yourself and invest in Christ. In other words, the focus is not on you or me, but the focus is on him. He also wants us to sit and listen. And for many of us, that could be very difficult. Sit and listen. How many times have you come to church, you sat and you were listening to what the preacher was saying or what the message has been saying? Were you listening? Or did you hear what was even being said? Many times we come to church, or perhaps we're so preoccupied with last week's word or the things that we did last night or yesterday that we sit down and all of a sudden our mind starts wandering and we're in a different zone. You know, I think of sit and listen, I think of Elijah. And we know the story of Elijah, where he wanted to hear God. And where he was seeking God, he tried to hear him in the thunder. He wasn't there. He tried to see him and hear him in the fire, and he wasn't there. But when Elijah sat down and he listened, it was in that still, small voice that he heard God talking to him. You know, many times we hear testimonies of those that have given their lives over to the Lord, and there was perhaps a tragic event that, was the turning point for them. But that might not be for you. Listen, Romans 10:14 says, "How shall they call upon him who they have not believed? How shall they believe on whom they have not heard? And how shall they not hear without a preacher?" Someone's got to preach the gospel of good news. Sit and listen. The other principle that I'd like to focus on is, and I like to say, take him fishing. What do you mean? When you're at that point where you accept Jesus in your life and you want him to be the ruler of your life, you need to take him wherever you go. You start your day with him in prayer. You include him in the decisions that you make in your life. You know, I don't think it was very easy for Peter, who fished all night, and Jesus said, "Drop your nets. I'm sorry, I'm a fisherman. You're a carpenter. I've been fishing all night. There's no fish out there. And you, again, want me to drop my nets." It's not going to be easy. It's not going to be comfortable. He's going to ask you to do something that maybe you've done 1,000 times. And you may want to be a little reluctant in doing it. But be obedient to him. Trust him. And focus on him. And we see afterwards that they forsook all and they left their nets. You see, when you decide to follow Jesus, he's going to want you to leave everything that you had. Everything that you have that you think is yours, because it's not. It's his. He wants you to leave those things that would prevent you from focusing on him, from following him. He wants you to give up the treasures that you are holding on to, because it's not yours. But there's a bit of a caution. There's a portion of Scripture that says that he who wants to follow Jesus must first count the cost. What is it going to cost? And are you willing to give that up? Because he doesn't want you to start something and then not follow through with it. Matthew 16:24, Jesus said it to his disciples, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself." Number one, deny yourself, the things that are of pleasure to you. Number two, take up the cross and follow me. Matthew 10:37 tells us, "And if anyone who loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, who loves their sons and daughters more than me is not worthy of me, who loves their home and job is not worthy of me, who loves their free time and wants to be out away from God's word is not worthy of me." And we see the obedience of Peter, and when we need to have that obedience as well. Brothers and sisters, do we have a tendency to follow Jesus and then just kind of lag behind? You see, Jesus, when he started this ministry and he called his disciples, he wanted to have a relationship with them. It was a relationship that he wants with you and I. Yes, there are times that we need to follow him, that we need to be behind him, and he needs to lead us and guide us. But there are times that Jesus wants to be right by our side. Perhaps some of you have heard of the poem of the footprints in the sand. And it goes something like this. There was a man that was going through some hard times. And when he was reflecting, he saw two footprints in the sand. And he felt comfortable. He was at ease. But when things got really tough, he felt Jesus wasn't there. He only saw one footprint in the sand. And he asked Jesus, why? Where were you when I needed you? And he looked at him and he said, my son, when you saw the one footprints, those were my footprints carrying you. So as we understand that when Jesus says, follow me, he wants us all. He wants all of us. He wants our heart. He wants our mind. He wants our soul. But he also wants us to count the cost. There's something else I want to point out. You know, the Pharisees at that time had over 600 rules. And if you didn't follow those 600 rules, you didn't live up to their standards. You weren't a good Pharisee. Jesus painted a different picture. And for those of you that haven't made that decision to follow Christ, and perhaps one of the excuses are, I'm not good enough. Perhaps one of the excuses are, I'm better than what I see in church. Perhaps one of the excuses are, do I need to? You see, in this story that Jesus, that we read, when he came up to a bunch of fishermen, smelly fishermen, he didn't ask them to change and then follow me. He said, follow me, I will change you. We first have to make that decision to follow him, and then he will change us and mold us and make us to who he wants us to be. So as we sit and we listen Sunday after Sunday, those of you that have not made that decision to follow Christ, in what category are you? Are you here just because you want to hear somebody speak? Are you here because you want to be with your friends? Today, like last Sunday, like the Sunday before that, and the Sunday before that, Jesus is calling you to follow him. So it's my prayer that you take the time to sit and listen, that you would give up yourself, that you would forsake all and follow him. May God bless his word.
Four principles that were outlined, taken from this passage of Scripture, are essential for starting a life in following the Lord. To be quiet and listen to his voice. To give your boat and your nets, all that you have, to your master. To take him fishing. To take him into all of your actions and your words, all the things that you do, and make him involved in your life. And to allow him to change you into the servant that he wants you to be. And for all of us brothers and sisters, that's a beautiful reminder for us as well how to grow in the Lord and in his service. There's something very precious about these principles. As we would align our lives and allow the Lord to change us and mold us into the patterns that he would find pleasing, we'll find that we would have more time and desire to be silent and listen, and then to give more, and to have the Lord more involved, and be willing to change and grow. And so those of you who may be hesitant because you don't know if you can be faithful, these principles aren't practiced only once, but they build upon each other. They're related to each other, and they grow in a cycle of faith and love for the Lord throughout the life. So may we remember the four principles that we've learned today and take with us the word that was written to the Hebrews. If you hear his voice today, harden not your heart. May God bless his word to us. Amen.
Amen.